This is a sermon given at St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas. Visit our website at saintdave.org.
The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Please be seated. Today is the Feast of the Epiphany, and it is great fun when it lands on a Sunday instead of on the Wednesday or Thursday when it normally does, because it is one of the major feasts of the year, and so we get to celebrate it together. We get to have a full house. We get to come together, sing all the beautiful hymns that are associated with this feast. It is the feast when we celebrate the coming of the wise men. And that has become a really important story over the history of the Christian church. And it's kind of curious that it is, actually, because it is such a brief tale. Every single thing in the Bible about the wise men you just heard read out loud. That is the whole story. It's only in the Gospel according to Matthew. And there are no other texts that reference it. And so that is the one way. Well, there's that other ancient sacred text by St. James Taylor, who also speaks about this in his profound writings. He says that, you know, that song he sings, those magic men, the magi, some people call them wise, or oriental, or even kings. Well, anyway, those guys, they visited with Jesus and sure enjoyed their stay, and then warned in a dream of King Herod's scheme, they went home by another way. And that's it. That's what we know. That's what we actually know about the wise men. And yet, if you're familiar at all with the history of the church and all the stories that have grown up around, you know, the corpus of what we think we know about the wise men is enormous. I mean, we have how they actually ever ended up in the creche and in a manger is also very curious. It's as curious to me as bunnies with eggs at Easter. I mean, it's these strange traditions that we have, because clearly in the text that we have for today, this came much later. They come to a house. It says right there in the Bible that they came to a house where Jesus was. Tradition has built up around this to where now, I think it was about the 5th century, they got names. So the wise men have, Balthazar and Melchior and Gaspar. And then as tradition continued, one was an old man and one was a middle-aged man. And one was a young prince, and they were friends. Now we even think we know which countries they came from. All of this tradition builds up. And the fact that we say three wise men is only because there are three gifts. So we assume each brought a separate gift, because that's good, proper Southern manners, right? Isn't that the way that works? So all of this tradition has built up around these wise men. I think there are several reasons for that. First, it's because it is a really important theological reality that they show up in this story. Because as Paul writes to the letter to the Ephesians that we heard read today, he says that in Jesus Christ, this covenant that God had with Israel is now been opened up to the whole world. That this is the work that Jesus does. The role that Jesus plays is that this special relationship that the Hebrew people have is now burst open and ready for everyone to come into the salvific life of Jesus Christ. This is the gift that God has given the world. God restoring all of humanity back into right relationship with God and with one another through the person of Jesus of Nazareth. So the wise men being in this story from the beginning is really important, because it helps us see the role that Jesus plays in the salvific history of God in the world. But I think there's another piece. Am I doing that, Marty? See, I don't know if I'm doing that or not. I'll just stand really still. Which means I'm not going to be able to talk at all. What was I talking about? I think it narrows in on this little interaction of gift. So, the wise men come to see Jesus. God's gift to the world. Jesus is God's way that God is going to restore all of humanity, all of the world back into right relationship with God. Jesus of Nazareth is the gift from God. And so these wise men who are seeking wisdom, who are seeking knowledge, seeking a relationship with God, come to the house and they come into the home where Jesus is, sees him with his mother Mary, and they kneel down and pay him homage. They see the gift. And in their response to the gift is that they give a gift. This feels to me why this is an important story. It feels really true to the nature of human beings around the world and across culture. The power of gift giving is very important to all of us. It is powerful to receive gifts, and it is powerful to give them. And so all of the gift-giving traditions that have risen up around the Christmas season, from Santa Claus to Epiphany to the wise men to whatever your individual expressions are, is very important. And I think there's something about receiving a gift that requires the giving of a gift. I received a gift a couple of days before Christmas from Catherine, my executive assistant. And I said, oh, I haven't gotten your gift yet. She said, oh, didn't you read that article that says just because someone gives you a gift doesn't mean you have to give one? I said no Southerner ever. That is not true. There's just something about us, right? When we receive, we immediately want to give. And there are lots of motivations for that. We don't want to be beholden or whatever. But I think there's more to that. There's something more beautiful and more genuine and more authentic and just spontaneously responsive to gift giving. When we receive, we want to give. The wise men come, they see Jesus. They receive the gift that God has for all the world. And their response is to give. To then in turn give back in return, just out of gratitude. At this intersection in the life of our congregation, I'm particularly mindful of the 5 or 6 generations of people who have been part of this congregation in its history. For over 160 years ago, I'll say it that way, somebody heard that if you go to the corner of 7th and San Jacinto in Austin, Texas, you will see Jesus. And so they got the word, and they followed the star, and they came to 7th and Sanjak, and they began to see Jesus. And then they put up a little building, and they put up a little bigger building, and they expanded the building. And ever since then, for 5 or 6 generations, people have heard that if you come here, you will see Jesus. And they come in, and they behold Jesus. And they kneel down on the same kneelers that you might kneel on right here. They kneel down at this rail and they behold Jesus. Actually taste Jesus at the rail. And in response to that gift that God has given them, they in turn gave gifts. They gave gifts beyond what they might normally give. They gave gifts to make sure that people could keep coming here to see Jesus. And we are all the recipients of that generosity of theirs. That generosity that started coming out of the heart of God and into Austin, here in this place, people coming and seeing Jesus, then responding in generosity themselves so that others could hear that if you come here, you will see Jesus. Now, as we just said, we just had a big celebration for Epiphany in Sumner's Hall. And if you weren't here, we talked about the fact that we have embarked on a capital campaign. We're about 3 months in, and so we've been in the quote-unquote quiet phase, which everyone knows about. So it's not a secret phase. It's just a one-on-one kind of conversations with individuals and households and families, asking them if they would make lead gifts to help us get to a goal of $5 million. Because we feel like we have been led by God to this place. We have seen Jesus. And now we're invited to continue the work that our forebears have done to make this a place where people will be able to come for generations in the future and see Jesus. So we've started that work. Up to this point, we've had 124 individuals and families who have said yes. And so we're incredibly amazed at their generosity. Our goal is $5 million. And we are just a little under $4.3 million in commitments to this goal. Incredible amount of generosity. And so right there in those conversations, you see that very same dynamic, that very same gift-giving dynamic. People have come here and seen Jesus. And in response to that, want to give so that others can come here and see Jesus. And so now we've gotten to the what they call the public phase of a capital campaign, which means we're asking all of us, everybody in the church, to think about this. We're inviting all of you to think about the time that you heard that if you go to 7th and Sanjak in Austin, you will see Jesus. And about the time when you actually came for the first time, it might have been before you were born, it might have been your parents, or today might be that day. When you walked in the door for the first time and you sat around the room with other people who are looking to see Jesus. And you see Jesus. And how we are all called then to kneel down in homage to Him, to give praise to God for God's generosity of the person of Jesus Christ that binds us together for God forever, that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And we're inviting you to think about that, to remember that day, and then to think about how you might open your treasure and give gifts to God in response for God's gift to you. We'll do it together. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
You can find more lectures and sermons on iTunes by searching for St. David's Episcopal Church in Austin, Texas, or visit our website at saintdave.org and click on the podcast button.